Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3? We're continuing our series in Christ as we journey through Ephesians, and we're going to read from verse 14 through to verse 21 to the end of the chapter. If you're following in the Pew Bibles on page 1175, in your own Bibles, Ephesians is right near the end of the Bible, of the last quarter or so of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 14. This is what Paul writes. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." We end our reading there. We thank God for that word. So today we're continuing our series in Christ. And our focus this morning is how we are strengthened in Christ. That is how Paul begins his prayer in verse 16. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." And in verse 17, he is telling them why he is praying that for them. He says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Paul's letter to the Ephesians naturally divides into two halves. The theology of being in Christ being the first part, and then the practical outworking of that identity. And this passage closes the theological half. It's drawing the theological section to a close. And from next week, when we continue this series, we'll start to look at what the practical outworking of living as people who are in Christ looks like. But let's look first at how this passage starts, and we're going to work our way through the passage. Verse 14 begins, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." But because we haven't looked at the first part of chapter 3, we haven't heard what that reason is. And the reason Paul gives earlier in this chapter is that God's eternal purpose has now been revealed in Christ, and that through him we can now come into the presence of God. We can come before God with freedom and confidence. And so, because God has made it possible for us to approach him, Paul does just that. He comes before God in prayer. But he comes before God on his knees. And while God has made it possible for us to approach him, he's made it possible for us to approach him, to come into his throne room, so to speak. You know, God's saying, come close, come, let's speak to one another. Paul doesn't forget who God is. That he is worthy of Paul's adoration, worthy of his reverence, of his submission. And so Paul comes humbly before God on his knees. And that's important for us to remember. Jesus calls us his friend. He invites us to come before him, to speak to him about all things, no intermediaries. But let's not forget who the God is that we are approaching, that he demands and deserves our respect, our honor, and our reverence. As we walk through this passage, we're going to see three ways that Paul says that we are strengthened in Christ. Because of God's authority, because of God's love, and because of his power. Paul begins with God's authority. He kneels before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Because we read it in English, we miss out on Paul's clever wordplay. The Greek word that he uses for father is pater, and the word for family is patria. Patria that has its roots in the word pater. So the sentence would be that Paul is praying to the pater from which every patria derives its name. He's literally correct when it comes to the words. But he's doing more than just trying to sound clever. Because that word patria doesn't only refer to our individual family units. It can also refer to tribes and ethnic groups, every nation on earth. And that detail about everything deriving its name from the Father is important. So every nation, every tribe on earth derives its name from the Father. That is what Paul is saying. In Scripture, naming is an act of authority. God gives humanity authority over creation. In Genesis 1, he says, let us create mankind in our image so that they may have authority over all the living creatures. So God gives humanity authority over creation. And then Adam expresses that authority in Genesis 2 when he names all the creatures. So when Paul says in Ephesians 3:15 that every family, every patria, derives its name from the Father, he is declaring God's universal authority over all humanity, both Jew and Gentile. And while this prayer is directed specifically towards the church, God's plan and his love stretch far wider across every tribe and across every nation. And this matters because our sense of security or our lack of security is often shaped by the authority that we place ourselves under or the authority that is placed over us. Strong leadership will give us stability. And when we feel secure, well, then we feel strengthened. We have courage to face whatever struggles come our way. When the person who has authority over us is someone that we can trust, someone who has our best interests at heart, well, that does make a difference. But when they are unpredictable, when they're inconsistent, or when they're self-serving, well, then we don't feel secure under that leadership. In Exodus, when Moses is sent to the Israelites to tell them that God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has heard their cries and will rescue them, God tells Moses to say to them, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people and I will be your God. At first, the people rejected Moses' message. You see, their experience of authority was Pharaoh, and he had crushed them. They were demoralized, they were weakened, they were insecure. They didn't know that they could trust somebody else now to come and have authority over them. But years later, in Joshua 24, after God had led them out of Egypt, after he had led them through the wilderness into the promised land, Joshua stands before the people of Israel and gives them a choice. Fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors who they served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? This time the people respond differently to the way they responded in Egypt. We would never abandon the Lord and serve other gods, they say. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. What has changed? Well, their experience, their understanding of who God is and how much he loves them. They have seen his faithfulness, his power, his protection. And that gives them security. They know that they can trust him. And so they willingly place themselves under his authority. And as we travel through the Old Testament, what we discover is that the strength or the weakness of Israel isn't dependent on the character of the king or the size of their army, but on whether they choose to put themselves under the authority of the one true God, the God of Abraham, or the gods of other nations. Those who are in Christ are strengthened not because of our faith or because of the size of our faith, but because of the one in whom we put our faith, the God under whose authority we choose to live. And when we choose the one true God, when we place ourselves under His authority as people who are in Christ, that gives us the strength to live in a world of struggle. Because He is not only the God who defeated Egypt, the Canaanites, the Amorites, or the other ites that the Israelites encountered. He is the God who defeated death itself. And if we who are in Christ share in His victory over death, then there is nothing in this world that can ultimately defeat us, not in a way that matters eternally. We are also strengthened in this world because of God's great love. Starting in verse 17, and I'm going to read the New Living Translation because I like the way that they put this. Paul says, "Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." There's a Pink Floyd album called The Final Cut. My favorite Pink Floyd album. I know it's supposed to be The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon, but I love The Final Cut. And it's all about the PTSD that soldiers struggle when they come back from war. And the album is specifically about the Falklands War. And the title track appears later in the album, and it brings us back to the story of a soldier. And we hear about him earlier in the album, lying awake in bed as his wife sleeps next to him, talking to her about the things that he feels that he cannot speak openly about. And in the song The Final Cut, he lies there while she's sleeping, and he says to her, "And if I show you my dark side, will you still hold me tonight? And if I open my heart to you and show you my weak side, what would you do?" And there is a question being asked there. Is there a limit to the love that you have for me? Do you love me up to a point? And is there a line that I could cross where you feel that you could no longer love me? And we can feel that way about God's love for us too, that there is a limit to His love. We boldly proclaim that there isn't. We sing about His love. "Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. On and on and on it goes." And we know in our heads that God's love has no bounds, but do we believe that in our hearts? I don't think we always do. I think there are times when we think to ourselves that we've crossed a line with God, and that He will love us when we're on this side of the line, but now that we've got to that stuff that's on the other side of the line, then it becomes a bit tricky for God to love us. Clearly, that's not a new feeling amongst Christians, because 2,000 years ago, Paul was writing this, trying to reassure them of the same thing. "I pray that you may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." But He doesn't only want them to grasp it. He wants them to experience it for themselves. Because when you fully grasp it and you experience it for yourself, well, then He says you will be filled to the measure and the fullness of God. When you fully grasp how much God loves you, it's mind-blowing. When I read that, two images from movies come to mind. The first one is the opening scene from Back to the Future, when Marty arrives at Doc's house and he plugs his guitar in. And he pushes all the switches up. He turns the dial. What does he turn the dial up to? 6, 7? No, he turns it all the way to 10. And then he takes out his plectrum and he strums his guitar. And he goes flying across the room because of the power that has come out of that speaker. Paul is saying that he wants us to grasp the enormity of God's love, because you know what? When we grasp how big God's love is, it'll blow us away. The other image that comes to mind is the closing scene from Highlander, when Connor MacLeod from the Clan MacLeod defeats the Kurgan and he experiences the prize, that final quickening. Everything surges around him, light, wind, power, and he is overwhelmed by something far greater than himself. And now, while those might just be movies, they all point us to something real. Because when Paul prays that we would grasp and experience the love of God. He is talking about something that truly transforms us, truly changes us from the inside out. But when the Holy Spirit lets the reality of God's love hit you, really hit you, it doesn't knock you back. It strengthens you. It fills you and it roots you into a firm foundation. And you come to realize that God's love isn't just a comforting love. It is an empowering love. It gives you the strength to face things you thought you could never face. It gives you hope where there used to be despair. It gives you, and because we're told that love casts out all fear, it gives us courage where there used to be fear. Because the one who loves you with a love that wide, that long, that high, that deep is in you. That is what Paul is saying in verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And when you grasp that, even for a moment, you're strengthened with a strength that doesn't come from you. It comes from God. So it can't be overcome by the things of this world. And then Paul brings this theological section to a close. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Think about that for a moment. More than all we can ask or imagine. More than all we can ask or imagine. And while you're thinking about that, think also about the thing that is going in your life right now that you are finding so hard to deal with. Something that you wish you could move on from, but it keeps holding you back. Something that is so overwhelming in your life that it holds you down. A fear that exists only in what might happen, but probably won't. But because it feels completely real to you, it keeps you trapped, making it hard for you to move on. And as you consider these things, they make us feel powerless. But hear again what Paul is saying. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power. In the areas of our life where we feel powerless, Paul says that God is more powerful than anything that we face. Not only can he do the things that we can ask of him, he can do even more than that. But Paul doesn't stop there, because the power that God has, Paul says that we have it too. He who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. God's power is in us. How is it in us? Well, let's jump back to verse 16, because this is what Paul is praying that we will know. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith we are saved, through faith we receive the Holy Spirit, and through faith Jesus sets up home in our hearts. And when he moves in, he brings everything with him, including his love and his power. And because we are joint heirs, we share in everything that he has. And that gives us access to that love and power. So listen again. Flick all the switches on. Turn the dial up all the way. Don't stop at 10. Go on to 11. And as you turn it all the way, remember whose power it is that you are accessing. This is the God who has authority over all nations. The Pater, from which every patria receives its name. The one whose authority is universal over every tribe, over every nation, every circumstance in your life. And when you place yourself under his authority, you are placing yourself in the safe, unshakable strength of the God who rules over all. And in that place, there is no line that you can cross where you are beyond God's love. There is no place that you can reach that is beyond God's love. It is wide enough to include every person, long enough to last all eternity and all the things you will do between now and then. It is deep enough to reach into the deepest of despair and high enough to bring us into his throne room. Nothing about you excludes you from God's love. But it's not just his love that is accessible. It is his power too. All the things that you've convinced yourself that you could never do, that you could never face, that you can never overcome, God can. And through his Spirit living in you, so can you. And as you think on that, as you think about the strength that is yours because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, I want you to take some time today, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, and think about the people in your life who don't know that yet, who don't know the enormity of God's love, who don't know that there is power available to them, strength available to them to overcome the things that they are dealing with in their lives. People who were created in the image of God and who don't yet experience the wonder of his love. People who don't know that there is strength to face life's hardships. People who are trying to get through life on their own strength because they don't yet know or have Jesus and the power that he brings in their lives. When we ask the question, who will you invite to the Cafe Explore Carol service? Who will you invite to Alpha? It's that person that you're thinking about right now. There's your answer. So let's finish with these words, the words that Paul finishes this section with. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that when we feel powerless, you give us the strength to overcome these things, to stand firm, to speak out, to get up, to carry on. All these things that seem to have control and power and authority over us, God, we cast them aside. And we recognize and we declare that they have no power over us, because the power of Jesus is in us. The power of the Holy Spirit that gave Jesus the strength to overcome death is the same power that is in us that gives us the strength to overcome anything that we face in life. And we thank you for that. We pray, God, that you will keep reminding us that it's there. But also, God, we pray for people that we know in our lives who don't yet know that, and we know that they should. We know that they need to. And we heard stories from the front year about how easy it is to invite someone to come to a place where they can hear about Jesus, where they can ask questions about Jesus. God, we shouldn't be afraid of doing that. We've just recognized the power in us to overcome death is here with us. We can overcome our fear of invitation. So God, bring those people's names to our minds and give us courage to go out and invite them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.